Scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 13. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth reminds us that we all have gifts to offer, but they must be used in love. Paul lays out what love looks like and what it does not. I'll be reading from the Living Bible Translation, which is the version given to the graduates. Please rise in body or in spirit. First Corinthians 13, 1 through 8a, and also verse 13. If I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them, and could speak every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what's going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to poor people, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about an injustice, but replaces whatever truth wins out. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You'll always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your guard in defending him. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. This is the inspired word of God for all the people of God.
Graduates, if you didn't open your gift, you now know what's in there, and invite you to open it. It is actually a Bible for you to take with you. We chose one slightly smaller than probably others that you have, and so you can tuck it in your backpack when you go to your next thing, college. And it is the Living Translation, kind of one of the more modern versions, and so. I wanted to expose you guys to what's in there and what's inside. So as you heard the scripture, where do you usually hear 1 Corinthians 13? Weddings, right. Probably one of the most common used in a wedding is 1 Corinthians 13. But I want to tell you that Paul didn't write it so that we could read it at our weddings. That's actually not why Paul wrote it, the Apostle Paul. And it is very appropriate, obviously, for a wedding. It has very good instruction for us in our marital relationship and in our significant relationships. And yet, Paul wrote it for a different reason. This is part of Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, and the people there, surprisingly, are having trouble getting along. People in churches not getting along, is that new? No. We churches are like that, unfortunately. And it was no different in Paul's time. And in Paul's time, they were having trouble getting along. And in that 12th chapter, right before that, we have the list of Paul's list about spiritual gifts. In 12:28, it says, here's a list of some of the parts that he has placed in the church, which is Christ's body: apostles, prophets, teachers, those who do miracles, those who give gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, those who speak in languages they have never learned. So that's a list of spiritual gifts. If you've learned about spiritual gifts, those are some of the spiritual gifts that God gives us. And so right before that, Paul says, you know what? You're all different. Y'all bring gifts. And it's really important that because you have these gifts, that you do them in love. And so he goes on to say that not any one gift is better than any of the others. and that he's actually admonishing the Corinthian church and saying, you're kind of thinking you're high and mighty with your gifts, and you're not using your gifts in love, and so you need to act a little different. And then that leads into chapter 13. There's a verse, actually, between 12 and 13, 12:31, that says, first, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than all the gifts. So you got these spiritual gifts, that's great, but there's something that trumps all the other things. Better than spiritual gifts is love, the love we have for one another. Without love, Paul says, the church is nothing. Okay? Churches mean nothing if there is not love in the church. Without love, Paul says, the church is really no different than the rest of the community. Outside our walls is not church, and if we act in ways that they act outside these walls, we're no different in here than the regular community in our midst. And Paul wants the church in Corinth, and actually for us today, that we are people that act out of grace and hope and love. The love that Paul is speaking of is not this inward love towards ourself, loving selfishly of ourselves, but an outward love. And Paul's love that he's talking about is a verb, okay? It's not a noun, it's a verb. You thought you were done with school, but here we go again, verbs, nouns, you know, subject, predicate, sorry. So it's a verb, and because it's a verb, it is active. It is not something that is just, like we talked about, grace set on the shelf and forgotten about. It seeks ways to be expressed. Love is what Christ calls us to do. And Christ even calls us to go so far as loving our enemies. So that's something that the regular world doesn't do. The regular world doesn't love its enemies. But Jesus says, even love your enemies. It's tough when someone wrongs us or when someone opposes us. Society teaches us to get revenge, but Jesus teaches us that there's this different way of doing things. Instead of seeking vengeance, people of faith are called to pray for those who persecute them. That's not what happens outside these walls. People of faith pray for those who persecute. So what does love look like? You want to go to the next slide? Thank you. Love that is patient, what does it look like? It's slow to anger, it bears one another's imperfections, and it creates space for people when they make mistakes. Patient love creates space. Love that is kind is also a verb, and it seeks to do for others without expecting any repayment. That's something different, too. Usually we do something and then we expect, okay, what's in it for me? And yet, love that is kind doesn't want recognition and isn't concerned about repayment, but it's done out of compassion and out of kindness. Being jealous or envious comes in two forms, and love is never, as it says, jealous or envious. And so when we're being jealous or envious, we desire for others to, not have things that we have. So if we don't want to be jealous or envious, we applaud other successes, okay? Instead of being jealous of other successes. We've heard a lot about your successes, and everybody, you all were created differently, and we applaud your successes, and we'll applaud your successes into the future, graduates. Love is never boastful or proud, and so when we brag about what we have or what we've done and become arrogant about what we have and what we have done, we are not acting in love. Love is never selfish or rude. Instead, it acts in courtesy, and it has tact, and it is positive towards others, even others that are different than us. Love endures all things and doesn't hold grudges. That's one thing that's quite different. You want to go to the next one, Brian? Thanks. It doesn't hold grudges. Love hangs in there when there are disagreements and doesn't remember all the things that went bad and keep a list of them. And every time you get mad at someone, take out the list and say, but you did this, 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 and this. Love doesn't hold grudges. Love must be sincere. How skilled are you at pretending to love? That's a legitimate question. How skilled are you at pretending to care? How often does someone ask you, how are you, and only for you to barely listen to the response, right? How are you? What's going on over here? You know, we ask how are you, but we often don't really care what the answer is. Love cares about the answer. Love takes the time to hear what the answer is. And even sometimes love doesn't want the fine or the good. Love wants all the details, the good and the bad. Paul writes this passage not to tell what love is, but to tell what love does. Let me repeat that. Paul writes this not to tell what love is, but to tell what love does. And remember, Paul is writing this to tell the church in Corinth, the church in Tipton, how it is called to live in community with one another, to tell the church how to behave, right? That's really what he's saying. This is how the church of Jesus Christ is called to behave. God invites us to love differently than the world loves. In Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the book of Romans, in chapter 12, Paul writes, don't just pretend that you love others. Don't just pretend. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with humanly affection and take delight in honoring one another. Take delight in one another. That's what the church of Jesus Christ does. Love that is sincere and devoted goes beyond politeness and surface kindness. And to earnestly love requires an intentional effort. It also means that there's an allocation of our resources of time and money. Evidence of that is that we'll pass the plate a third time today for just our regular operating ministries. Because love is something that one does, it looks a lot different than things. It looks like the church showing kindness and sincerity to the people that come for shared blessings and actually being there to do shared blessings. Love looks like taking a few extra minutes after church to talk with someone that came to church alone or came to church for the first time or maybe came to church with their head down because something bad has happened this week. Love takes the time to find out more than just the surface stuff. Love that is sincere and based in Jesus Christ honors others because we were created by God to love. Loving like Christ calls us to do things a little bit differently. We're called to seek to make this church a better place, but also to make this community a better place and our workplace a better place. Going to college, going into the workforce, we're called to have love make things just a little better for others. It's a hard thing to do because the world out there doesn't love like Jesus loves, but we're still called to do that anyway. Love isn't measured by how good it makes us feel. Instead, it's measured by the lives that are changed because of the love that we show. Jesus showed his love by dying on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We can't match that love, friends, but we can love beyond what we're already doing and expect nothing in return. You are invited to love God because God loved you first, not because you expect anything in return. As you go from here, graduates, try to love others that way. Try to share some of that Sunday school love, Kenzie and Erica. That you taught your little people that you expect them to do. I'm going to invite you to The next slide, Brian. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. It is rewritten with the word Christ substituted for the word love, because that's really the kind of love we're talking about. Not wedding love, but love of Jesus Christ. Christ is very patient. Christ is kind. Christ is never jealous or envious. Christ is never boastful or proud. Christ is never selfish or rude. Christ does not demand his own way. Christ is not irritable or touchy. Christ does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Christ is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone,